You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Cashmas, joined by Dick Cagle, and it's going to be the shortest offseason in a long time for the Kansas City Royals, and that's a beautiful thing. Made it to Game 7 of the World Series. Came up short in that game, but what a wonderful run it was leading up to that. And now the Royals have some big decisions to make as they try to get back to that level and win that last game of the World Series next time around. So let's bring in DK to talk about it. DK, obviously the number one most pressing issue with this club going into the winter is James Shields, their rotation ace and the guy who's meant so much for them just from innings and attitude and of course performance. They extended the qualifying offer to him. It seems like the prevailing sentiment is that he could command a lot more than the Royals are willing to go. Having said that, we've seen how those qualifying offers do impact people's markets from what they're expected to be, and we also know that there's a couple other big arms out there in free agency. So what's your feeling about the Shields situation as we go into the winter?
Well, we just had a discussion with Dayton Moore today, and although James Shields, oddly enough, his name didn't come up directly, Dayton did discuss how difficult it would be for the Royals in their market to sign one of the very top echelon pitchers in the free agent market.
Yeah.
Of course, that would involve Shields. And I think what they're really going to do is kind of lower their aim, not discounting, obviously, how important Shields was to their effort in the last 2 years. But I think he's just going to be out of their range, and I think what they're going to do is concentrate more on a pitcher somewhat on the level of a Jason Vargas, the guy they signed a year ago about this time, a guy that is a good, steady performer and can come in and supplement the four very good starting pitchers they already have. So I think that's where they're going to go as far as their starting pitchers. Now, a starting pitcher is their number one priority, to get a good starting pitcher in there to add to this rotation. But I don't think it's going to be James Shields or anyone else in that upper echelon category. I think it's going to be a lower tier kind of pitcher who nevertheless is a good, strong, solid, proven major league pitcher.
Well, we know Ned Yost is neighbors and hunting buddies with John Lester, but I don't suppose that relationship extends into a free agent discount by any stretch of the imagination.
They may do some hunting and field clearing or something together out there, but I don't think it's going to go down to dollars and cents. Yeah, there's no doubt that Ned thinks highly of John Lester and probably vice versa, but it boils down to probably more than anything years of contract. Years they're willing to go at a high rate of pay. So I don't think it's going to work for the Royals. They're certainly not closing the door, but it's unlikely.
There's certainly some more bargain type options out there. A guy like Brandon McCarthy or a guy like Jason Hamill. On the Twins podcast with Rhett Bollinger, we talked about they're in a sort of similar situation. The Royals, looking for a dependable innings eating starter without breaking the bank, and those are two guys who came up then and could come up for the Royals as well. Anytime a team makes a deep run like that, there's an infusion of in attendance and some revenue generated out of that. But the Royals also have a lot of arbitration cases to handle. Don't see their payroll jumping drastically from the low 90s point where it was in 2014. So the usual creativity will have to come into play here, and we've seen from Dayton Moore's ability to build this 2014 club, he certainly has the ability to do that again. There are two other prominent free agents, Billy Butler and Nori Aoki. They Obviously, they turned down that option on Butler that would have given him a substantial pay raise. I think it was like a 50 or 60% pay raise from what he made in 2014. That made all the sense in the world, but remains to be seen. Maybe they'll work out more of a discount deal with him. It seems like both sides have interest in maintaining that relationship on some level, but that one's going to come down to dollars and cents, too.
Yeah, both sides have said they'd like to work something out, but still, as Billy told us the other day, some other club might come in with a sensible offer that appeals to him, and off he goes. And we're not even ruling out National League clubs in this scenario, because even though Billy is not an Eric Hosmer at first base, say, when he filled in for Eric that month in August, he did very well at first base.
Right.
A good, solid first baseman who works hard at it. And that showed in that 1 month. I mean, my gosh, he hadn't played first base for forever, and he came off the bench and did very well for a month. So I think he proved in that way that he could survive in the National League playing first base. And he hit much, much better when he was out there in the field that month, too. So.
Mm.
That's something to consider as well. Now, as far as Aoki goes, I don't know what's going to happen there. He was certainly a bargain last year. I don't remember exactly what his salary was. I think it was like $1.9 million or something when he came over from the Brewers. But he's an interesting player, and as Dayton was saying just today, both those guys, Butler and Aoki, they're what they call real professional hitters. They know how to battle a good pitcher. They know how to go deep in counts. They put the bat on the ball. So they're good. Certainly good options to come back next year. But it's all in the negotiations and how things work out and so on and so forth. We can't predict at this point whether either one of them will be back or not.
Yeah, we saw the benefit of the James Shields. I think now we can even call it the Wade Davis trade with the season he had. Saw the benefit of that in 2014 and the run they made. And now here's the downside: is right field. Here's a hole where Will Myers might have been standing otherwise, and the rotation spot. Obviously, the innings you have to fill with Shields hitting free agency. As far as that right field goes, I mean Jerrod Dyson. Was big for them on the postseason stage, but ultimately, I don't think he's a guy you want to trust against left-handed pitching, given his numbers there in that scenario. But maybe they find a platoon option for him.
Well, that could be too. I don't know. I'm a believer that Jerrod Dyson could be an everyday player.
Okay.
If it's left-handed or not, but that remains to be seen. I think he certainly. Has a big impact on the lineup. Obviously, he can steal bases and play some great center field. So I think they could survive very nicely with Jerrod Dyson in center field and moving Kane to right. But as we say, we'll see how that works out. You don't know.
And it got lost in the shuffle of the World Series, but they made the waiver claim for Moises Sierra, who maybe he's an option for them in the outfield next season as well. And there's guys who in the trade market and free agent market isn't quite as robust, but there could be some guys in the trade market. And thinking back to Butler, you made a good point. If he can market himself as a position player, that helps him exponentially, because it's a pretty depressed DH market this winter. There's kind of a lot of options there. Guys like Mike Morse, Kendry Morales, obviously Victor Martinez is the number one guy in that market, but you almost wonder if that puts the Royals in a good position to get a good deal on Butler or maybe one of those other guys in the lower tier. But kind of shifting things a little bit, DK, the big strength of this team in the postseason and all season really was the back end of the bullpen and those the three-headed closer they had back there with Kelvin Herrera and Wade Davis and Greg Holland. It's an expensive arrangement keeping those guys next year, and we know how bullpens can fluctuate. Do you think there's any any truth to the scenario proposed of maybe moving one of those guys specifically? I mean, most likely Holland, I would think, if any of those guys were going to be moved, just because, you know, where he's at contractually. But do you think they're just going to keep those guys together, or maybe is that an area where the Royals could market one of them and help themselves elsewhere?
I think they're going to keep the three together. That's
yeah.
That's a pretty strong indication from the general manager. And as he points out, maybe ordinarily an ordinary payroll, pitching-wise, maybe they couldn't do it, but they do have Jordano Ventura and Danny Duffy in the rotation now.
Yeah,
and those are low service time guys and relatively low payroll guys at this particular point. So that gives them a little more payroll flexibility to use in the bullpen. So I think they're going to make every effort to keep those three together. I mean, those three guys were absolute dynamite all season long. And, Holland did have a little arm issue late in the season, but he seems to be fine and he's throwing great at the end. So I don't foresee them breaking up that trio. From a fan's point of view, I don't think the fans want those guys to leave either, because they were certainly a great attribute and a great attraction for the fans to look for in the late innings of the games.
Well, I know some opponents, and particularly AL Central opponents, would probably like to see them break it up. But, that's certainly a great area of strength to have. And maybe even support those guys in the middle innings. Obviously, Jason Frazier is a guy they picked up midseason who hits free agency. So, maybe that's something they work to solve. But another thing, DK, that, and I know the answer to this because they're both Scott Boras clients, but Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer obviously really stepped up on the postseason stage. Neither guy has quite hit his potential in the regular season just yet. But you think about them long-term. Now, they're both under contract for another three seasons, I believe. But, you know, this would be the point for a lot of clubs where you try to lock those guys up for the long-term. But, again, their agent has a history of getting guys to free agency, so I'm guessing that's not a front-burner topic at the moment.
No, but I think those guys are set, at least for the immediate future. A lot of people say, well, Moustakas had an off year, but he certainly picked up in the postseason, and Dayton Moore is on record as saying that Moustakas is the third baseman for the future. So I don't think either one of those guys are going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, and that's a big point of upside for this team. You know, the experience those guys got in the September stretch, and then the October run, the confidence they must have gained from that is probably off the charts. So there's, you know, this is not a dynamic offensive club from a power standpoint by any stretch of the imagination, but there's still a lot of upside with those two guys on the corners, and we'll see how they address the holes at DH and in right field and in the rotation where James Shields' innings loom large. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I want to thank Dick Cagle for joining us. I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras Kansas City Royals Edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.